Thank you for listening to Ivy Podcast, where we feature weekly leadership conversations with thought leaders and industry experts. Now, here is your host, Angela Alberti.
In celebration of International Women's Day, I have the honor and opportunity to interview wonderful women and powerful women within the world of business as we look to, you know, hopefully be the change that lies ahead for women in the world of business. I really wanted to showcase many different interviewees that I will be featuring, starting with Eve Cartwright. So before we get started, I wanted to thank all of our listeners, like always, for tuning in. Wherever you are tuning in from, thank you for joining us. Thank you for spending some time with us. I always say time is one of the more valuable things that we can give to one another, and we appreciate your time in today's episode. I have the privilege to interview Eve Cartwright with Strategic Recruitment and Advisory Services. She is the owner, the operator, and really looking to change the way recruiting and staffing is done out of Boston. Eve, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Sure. Well, I started my career in Boston. I went to Simmons College and started right after that, really, in first as an admissions counselor and then executive search and staffing. And I worked in that for many years. And then I thought it'd be kind of fun and interesting to go on to the in-house and work for a company internally within human resources. So I moved back to Connecticut, where I grew up, and took a role with Gartner Group. Well, it was Gartner Group then, it's Gartner now, right, which was a privately held firm, and grew that firm from 250 to over 3,000 employees.
Wow.
Today, I think it has 15,000 employees in 100 different countries. So, but I really cut my teeth there. And I've always been in recruiting. I've always loved it in one form or another. And then 15 years ago, started my own firm, Cartwright Search Group. And I actually put I toyed with the fact, should I put my name on it or not? But I thought if I'm gonna do this and I'm gonna do it right, I'm gonna put Cartwright in the name of my business. So
awesome.
I've been doing this.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, wonderful. So tell us a little bit, you know, I don't know how you can answer this question adequately, right? But what does the day in the life look like for you? And what sort of niche are you guys specializing in? What have you guys grown up in now that you have been doing this for several years?
A day in the life. Well, that's kind of hard. Well, it's ever changing. But I think you eat and sleep and walk and talk recruiting all the time. You know, my kids used to say, you know, Mom, you always have a headset on. Ever since they were little children, I was always walking around the house with a headset. So it's, you know, I think your mind is always turning in this business. You know, what client would be good to work with? Who are the candidates that would fit in this position? You know, it's always this really professional matchmaking of sorts. And my focus has morphed through the years. You know, of course I started in market research and advisory services because that was my training from Gartner. Right. But then as I worked in the industry, you know, when the financial services was booming, I was in financial services. When tech was booming, I was in tech. Wow. So I've learned really to study and kind of be involved in the industry that is sort of in command at that moment. And 10 years ago, I really got into technology transfer and commercialization, drug discovery, working with healthcare, biotechs, pharmas, in sort of a consulting capacity. Well, not, I wasn't in a consulting capacity, but placing analysts and consultants and the likes within sort of the intellectual property patent work. So, and that's really been my focus the last 10 years. However, I still do a lot of work within fintech and some CPG. It really sort of, it depends. You know, my client base is primarily network. Mm-hmm. Through my network, I don't do a lot of business development. So whatever comes to me, I take. And if I can't do it, I farm it out to someone else who I, you know, who can, one of my colleagues. But I'm really in, I really can do just about everything. So
that's great.
That's kind of the exciting thing about it, right? Is that every time you get a new job or a new client, you're learning something new. I mean, I have learned so much about industries I never had any, you know, any information or anything about. And it's been really, I'm an intellectually curious person. So it's been kind of fun. Like each search is new, right?
That's wonderful. So, I mean, you've kind of touched on this a little bit. What do you think is the best way that you can't, well, let me preface this a little bit. We have seen the agencies that have typically been, maybe they were focusing on technology. Maybe they were focusing on CPG or light industrial. And then we've seen this boom that we all know has happened as a cause of the pandemic. And all of a sudden transitioned themselves into healthcare. They're now a healthcare recruiting agency or firm. What do you think is the best way, because you have done it, to immerse yourself into a new industry, into searching for a new niche so that you can be successful at it?
Well, you know, I think it's really a commitment to, you know, you just can't decide you're going to be in healthcare, jump in and start sending resumes because you're not doing the service to your client, which is really working with your client, being that client's business partner, understanding the industry, understanding their culture, and the caliber of person that they need. So I think, you know, it really is a commitment to understand that new industry, know the players, know the competitors, you know, really researching it first and understanding the landscape before you really dive in. I mean, you can dive in on a periphery, but I think if you really want to be that HR business partner and establish relationships, like long-term relationships with your clients, it takes some getting to know, you know, who's doing what and the trends and what's happening before you can start sending resumes.
That's right. That's, you know, right. And then you move beyond just being the supplier and you become the partner, the go-to.
Right, because my job is to make the client's job easier, right? Streamline the process, introduce those people that are skilled, meet all the requirements that fit into their culture, and you really need to be in lockstep with that client. And being in lockstep with that client is having a strong relationship, right? So I think, yes, absolutely, you can transition into all sorts of industries, but make the commitment to do so first.
That's right. Awesome. So I want to take it to a little bit of a different direction here because it is International Women's Day, and there's probably going to be hopefully there is many different females that are joining in on our podcast. What advice do you give the future female entrepreneur, the one that is maybe at the large corporate conglomerate and saying, you know what, I want to do this. I think I can do it. What advice would you tell yourself, maybe if you had the chance to, many years ago?
Well, there's no time like the present, right? You know, you can't say, it's like people who say, well, I'm going to get married, but I'm not going to do it till I'm da, 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 da. You know, when you're starting your own business, and I'm a little impulsive, I have to say, that's a little part of my personality, not impulsive, but I'm a risk taker. And I think that you need to be brave. You need to be committed to your mission, to your goals, and take the risk. Because when you start your business, it's all you. And you need to be able to stand behind your values, right? And your directive. And, you know, there will be people out there that will say, oh, I don't think you're going to be able to do it. You know, I worked for this woman who said, there's no way you're going to be able to do this. She was a business owner. And I thought, I'm going to prove you wrong. Mm-hmm. And I think that's been one of my, you know, it's a challenge, right? But don't compromise who you are or, you know, really trust your convictions. And if this is really what you want to do, you can do it. You really can do it. I think also, you know, I've learned, and I think I've, you know, in the beginning, I would work with clients that were somewhat toxic or super demanding in an unrealistic way. And I would stick with it because I'm not a quitter, right? I kept saying, I'm not quitting, I'm not going to do this. But then I realized as I grew and I matured into my role and into my business, and that it takes more time to manage those toxic clients, and why not be out there developing new business that's good for you? So you have to have that
selectivity, right?
Right. To walk away from the client that's toxic. I mean, I've talked clients out of hiring candidates that weren't right. And I've talked candidates out of working at a client that wasn't right. Because really, it comes back to you tenfold, I believe.
Mm-hmm. And it aligns with that initial mission that you had when you first set out, right? To kind of set yourself apart.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, I think we talked about this earlier in our conversation, but, you know, one of the things that really helped me was aligning with a group of people that were doing what I was doing. And very early on, there were some people that decided to branch off and start their own businesses, as did I. And we supported each other and we listened to each other and we cried with each other and we cheered with each other. And we used, you know, we shared templates and we made referrals, or if we couldn't place a candidate, we'd refer them. So I still have that really strong network with all these other women. And, you know, it makes me think, my mother used to say, you know, my marriage wouldn't have lasted without my without my girlfriends to talk to. I feel like my
business wouldn't have lasted.
Right? Yes. So
that's awesome.
You really need a sounding board and a group that you trust, mm-hmm. that you can lean on.
That's wonderful. That's such great advice. I mean, it's the take the risk, just do it and accept it and know that this is going to be a risk. It's the fact that you have to know when to turn away a client, time is money. And I think that that's very true. Time spent on a client that perhaps is not the most conducive to business or generating business for your business is probably business that needs to be walked away from. And then having, you said this initially when we spoke on it, and I used it one other time, but it's know your tribe, right? Know the people that are going to help lift you, be that sounding board, be that advice, maybe that have made the mistakes, mm-hmm. or even you taking it a step further, being that potential referral gateway to help further grow, build and grasp your network. So wonderful advice that I think you've given just myself as a listener, and also as a female entrepreneur, something for me to walk away from. So thank you for that. Now let's go into something that you mentioned earlier. And I think this is fascinating. What do you do when you have that new client and you're trying to understand what are the more incalculable things as part of the job? And that's the culture. What are those questions, those inquisitive things that you ask when understanding the culture so that you can really analyze whether or not this is going to be a fit for a future candidate?
Well, it's really important. So I feel, so having been on the other side in-house as an HR person, a lot of human resources professionals, they want you to be their first level of contact when you're working on a role. Right. And I try very hard to establish that trust with them, that it's really important for me to speak with the line manager or the hiring manager or whomever is in that peer group where this person is going to be working, because there's nobody else that knows it like they do, right? I mean, HR gets the role and they understand the role and they do the screening, but those people that are in that pod, in that department, working with, right? Yeah. So I think that initial kickoff call is huge. Like, what works for you? What doesn't work for you? What are the challenges? Mm-hmm. It's really, really important to be transparent with each other, to trust each other. And even if there's something, you know, there's an issue with management, I mean, tell me that. It's not going to go any further, but tell me that so that I can work with it. So yeah. I think the initial kickoff call with a hiring manager to give you, and for them to be honest and open about what's worked, what hasn't worked. Why did so-and-so leave? These are the challenges we've had bringing somebody in. It's not just emailing me a job description and having me plug in a person. It's so much more than that. Is that
great? Oh, absolutely. And I love what you mentioned is you want to be speaking to people that are on the floor, because sometimes culture varies from department to department. Let's be honest, there could be, you know, areas that you're helping place that is very different from, you know, the HR department, and really having that on the floor contact that's going to be maybe supervising or working with the talent that you look to place there is super pivotal, and understanding that through transparency on the first call is probably very effective. Now, here's another question that I think, you may have picked up on. I mean, you've been in this industry or a realm of this industry for your entire career. What mm-hmm. are those qualities that, in your opinion, make a good recruiter, make an effective recruiter? What do you think that is?
So there's a saying in recruiting that that's something like, you know, there's no gray area in recruiting. You either love it, you're either good at it and love it, or you don't. You can't be, you know, fluctuating. Well, today I like it, maybe tomorrow I don't, because when you're in, you've got to be all in.
Right.
Because it's your, right? So a good recruiter, number one, works in lockstep with a client. Going back to what we just discussed, really understanding that client and being an extension of that client. You are their HR business partner. So you're a good listener, number one. Number two, which is huge for me, is a sense of urgency. You know, let's not wait 5 hours to check my email. You know, I feel like, you know, and this is one of my things, it's like, especially from working at home, but, you know, check those emails, get back to people. You know, this business moves fast.
Oh, so true.
Yeah. So that sense of urgency, developing that relationship, being trustworthy, being transparent, and above all, being ethical. You know, I think that, huge, yeah. And, you know, I know.
Especially because I feel like sometimes this industry has garnered a reputation.
It has.
That's not the best.
It has. And that's really one of the reasons, one of the many reasons I started my own business, is I wanted to be at the helm, and I wanted to be that. I wanted to have those ethics show. I wanted that to be transparent. And like I said to you before, you know, I've said to a client, I know you love this candidate, but let's talk about this. Let's really talk about this. So it isn't just about that placement fee, right? It's about the long-term relationship. So I think having a strong EQ is really important too, to have that emotional intelligence. You know, not everybody's intuitive, but I think know when it's time to counsel your client, know right. when it's time to brainstorm what's working, what's not working, you know, follow the demand of the industry, pivot when you need to pivot, but always stay connected and never burn a bridge if you can help.
I love that.
What goes around comes around.
That's so, very true. That is so very true, Eve. And I think, you know, I'm just going to hone on one of the things, and you said this, is always try to remain ethical. That lines back to probably why you started your business, to set yourself apart. But if you do the right thing will come to you eventually. It may not seem like it. I'm a proponent of that as well. So I definitely want to echo in many of the things that you say. You are certainly providing a lot of wisdom throughout this podcast that I'm so appreciative of. But let's talk about some of the things that maybe are trending and you know, the talks of the industry. So we have things that are happening like AI, artificial intelligence, and automation, and
right.
And, you know, one of the things, I think I mentioned it to you on our last call, is staffing industry analyst, 14 predictions of 2022, number 12 or something right. like that was,
right.
the recruiter is going to be no longer, that these things are going to be replaced with AI and automation. And that more so it's going to be that human kind of service oriented type of role. What do you think about that? What is your general opinion on where you see this industry going and trending towards when we look at technology and its involvement into what we do every single day?
Okay, that's a really, really good question, because I struggle with this, you know, sometimes because I am such a touch point face-to-face kind of person, right? And I don't think anybody can ever replace that, right?
No.
But, you know, it is going in that direction, AI and automation. And it's really, AI is really providing the human resources person, the departments, the opportunity to improve the candidate experience, right? By automating maybe the repetitive tasks, the mundane tasks, so that HR can really focus on sort of the big things, the strategic things, the creative work. No AI platform is ever going to pick your employees for you. I mean, they can sort them, they can screen them, they can, you know, have an algorithm, but the algorithm doesn't choose the culture. It doesn't read between the lines in the resume. It doesn't look at the gray areas. It doesn't talk to the soft skills, right? Mm-hmm. So you're always going to have, I don't think HR people are going to be extinct. Recruiting's going to be extinct, but you know, it's this, I think AI will absolutely aid. So, but there's a lot of AI that will help with productivity, you know, reduce operational costs and time spent on screening resumes, right? When you put an ad up, you know, you could get 1,000, 2,000 resumes, what have you. So there's a benefit to that. Scanning resumes, there's also this interesting one that I've been reading about is that it's, especially with all of the diversity and inclusion and equality, you know, being such a big push right now.
Yes.
There's an external branding AI that relates to inclusion and equality and develops this writing platform that analyzes your text and your branding and your external communication so that it spots, you know, language errors and correct text and things. So that's a really cool platform. You know, there's a lot of things that will free up time for people and help them focus on sort of the, I don't want to say the really important stuff, but the more creative and more strategic.
The human element to the human capital industry. I love that. It's going to be whatever it is that it's only going to aid and enhance the process. And what can we do to bring the human back to human capital?
Yeah. And another initiative companies are focusing on too is mentoring is becoming a big thrust within companies.
Wow. For
retention. Right.
Yeah.
So yeah. There's also a platform that will sort and stack your employee skill sets so that you can provide them with opportunities for growth internally, which will aid in retention. So that's really cool stuff. You know, it can't totally replace HR, but it will benefit, you know, from the data and streamlining management processes and give everyone a leg up, I think.
Fantastic. That's great. Now let's take it back to a little bit of a personal level. So what is your content diet? What are the things that you read up on, you know, particularly for your particular niche? And what do you think you'd recommend in terms of news intake to help recruiters, you know, or even just people in general in your business, in your niche, stay up to date on things?
Yeah. Good. That's a good question. You and I were talking a little bit about attending conferences. I think if you can be with your peers, you know, when I was at Gartner, I started this HR roundtable, which was just so valuable for us to all talk about what was going on in our companies and how we were implementing processes and procedures. There's a group I belong to in Boston called the Boston Recruiters Networking Group. And that's been amazing. So it's, you know, it's all that kind of thing, right? What's mm-hmm. going on? What are your policies? What are your procedures? What's your hybrid look like? What's your remote look like?
How are you handling this crazy world of work now?
Right, it's crazy. So I think it's important to be part of maybe a couple networking groups,
right?
For one, to stay abreast.
Especially in this digital world that we're in.
Oh, right. But really, you can get overwhelmed with it too, where there's just so much stuff coming at you.
That's true.
Right. Yeah. So pick a couple really good sources and either subscribe to them or, you know, like I'll take a morning and say, okay, for these 2 hours, I'm going to do my reading and, you know, don't try to fit it into the spaces in your day, like really dedicate some time to keep abreast of what's going on, which is important.
Yeah. Right.
I subscribe to the Harvard Business Review. I look at sometimes Stanford and Wharton have really good white papers on hiring. And
probably Gartner as well.
Gartner as well, exactly.
Right, that's right.
And then, you know, like I think I've read every book Brené Brown has read. Sheryl Sandberg, who wrote Lean In. And then, you know, I don't know, just... I don't know, just kind of keeping up on the news and, you know, really sort of what your industry is doing, sort of be at the pulse.
That's wonderful.
Really?
Yeah. Anything that you would recommend, as I mentioned earlier, I think time is such a valuable thing and it's the most valuable thing that we can offer. How the heck do you manage it and manage to read books and be a mom and own a business and stay up to date on news and have time for yourself? I mean, anything that you can help recommend. Maybe this is a personal question as a new mom, new business owner, trying to figure out how to balance it all with a new baby as well. I mean, any tips that you can do when it comes to managing time?
Truly International Women's Day, you know, so stick to your tribe. You've got to have really good friends. You've got to have really good business associates. Number one, we women totally need to support each other and be there for each other, you know, good, bad, ugly, right?
Right.
I really don't know. I'm type A, right? And so
I am too.
Yeah.
Which is almost a crutch, right? It's almost like, how do we manage it all? I think one of the things that helps me is like you said, you have your support system. You have the people that you can call on, the people that you can vent to, the mom that you can drop the kids off. I need it, right? I need to do this.
Yes.
And you also mentioned something that I think is really powerful is block off the time to things that you want to stay up to date on. And I am walking away with that for my own personal absorption of information, because, you know, that's something that I can improve on.
Do you know, you're absolutely right. Blocking off that time is huge, and commit yourself to blocking off that time. Don't say, like, it's like, you know, when you're running on the treadmill, you say, I'm going to do 5 miles. And then at like 4 miles, you're like, well, maybe I'll just do 4.3. Or like, if you're going to run to that telephone pole, get all the way to the telephone pole.
Yeah.
But just do it. Just make the commitment not to stop early, to block off that time for yourself. And, you know, also, and I know we women, we all do this, but don't be afraid to say no. Say, no, I can't get to that today. Or because it's some of those things aren't going anywhere. They will be there tomorrow and they will be there the next day. So use that sense of urgency on the things that really need attention that day. And, you know, we can all be successful, but we can always all say family first.
That's right. You know, because I think that first job is always our why, right? What is it that drives us? I'm a full-time mom before I'm a full-time co-founder.
Yes, exactly. And if everything else fell apart around you, you're still a mom and you're still with your family, right? Yeah. So you got to keep going back to that.
That's wonderful. That's absolutely wonderful advice. And, you know, it's been a real pleasure to be able to speak with you today, Eve. Where can we find you and where can we find Cartwright Search Group? How do we get in contact?
So, my website is just cartwrightsearchgroup.com.
Okay.
And I have a page on LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. I'm on LinkedIn all the time. Actually, LinkedIn is another, I should plug LinkedIn because they're another very good source. But yeah, it's just Eve Cartwright, Cartwright Search Group. And the other thing I should just throw out there, I'm always happy to, you know, do some career coaching or some counseling pro bono or, you know, mentorship. I've done that throughout my entire career. And I'm more than happy to do a shout out if anybody needs, you know, some advice or help or whatever. Yeah.
That is invaluable. I might take you up on that offer myself.
I would love it if you did.
Well, you know, it's been really wonderful to be able to have, what a great opening to International Women's Day to have the opportunity to sit down and speak with you, Eve. Genuinely, I want to thank you so much for sitting with us. I hope that every listener and especially our female listeners find something of value. I know that they will because I did. So really thank you for sharing your insights, your knowledge, your wisdom, the mistakes that you made, and really how we're all juggling to balance this life that we have. It's so much appreciated. And hopefully we have the opportunity to find you on LinkedIn and connect with you there as well. Cartwright Search Group, thank you for the time today. Thank you to our listeners as well for tuning in. And we will see you guys on the next episode. Thanks, Good. Ivy Podcast.
Thanks, Angela.
Thank you for listening to the Ivy Podcast. Be sure to subscribe to our RSS feed on ivypodcast.com and all major podcasting platforms like Spotify and iTunes. As always, if you enjoyed this podcast, please give us a rating on iTunes.